Hello and welcome, everybody. Thank you for checking out our podcast page.
We are here today with one of the candidates running for mayor, Lucille Chuzinski.
We will be asking questions about her opinion on K-12 education and the future.
So sit back and enjoy our interview.
Mrs. Chuzinski, why don't we get started?
First question.
What skills or abilities do you feel students need to have to be successful in the 21st century as employees?
Well, speaking as an employer, I think that I can answer that question from my own perspective. I think that students need to have critical thinking skills. You need to be able to think critically. You need to be able to communicate effectively, and you need to be problem solvers. Those are very important because when you're in the workplace, you need to be able to understand what's going on and adapt to what's going on. You need to be able to communicate with clients, with peers, and you need to be able to solve problems. So I think those three things, the ability to communicate, the ability to think critically, which comes first, and the ability to solve problems are vital to being successful in today's world.
Now, do you think our schools teach these things to students?
I think that as we proceed into the 21st century, schools are going to have to find ways to teach those skills. And I think in great measure, up until now, those skills have been taught as sort of a byproduct of the core curriculum. I think they're going to have to become a curriculum almost in and of themselves. In other words, now you have your core content matter. You have English, you have history, you have math, you have science, you have art, you have music. I think you still have civics. Those are your core subjects. And over the years, we've developed ways to teach those very effectively, or hopefully very effectively. But I think there are going to have to be a program set up that teach you the life skills that you need in order to survive in today's world and in order to deal with a global economy. And those are skills like adaptability and accountability, the ability to continue to learn, the ability to understand the world in a global sense, the ability to understand other cultures, so that your core content is the very strong basis for your ability to understand. And then this new core, which I'd like to call the 21st century core, is going to be the core that teaches you actually what's my place in this huge, in this global world, in this global economy? How do I adapt to it? How do I go about making a place for myself in it? What about my leadership skills? What about my ability to work with a group? What about my ability to have technological skills? Am I good enough at it so that I can communicate on a worldwide basis? All those things. I think that will be a new curriculum and should be a new curriculum. Otherwise, we're giving students only information, and then we have let them down by not giving them the ways in which they can use that information. The effective ways that they can use that information to find a place in the world.
Now, getting into the idea of technology, would you feel that students should not use their books and just go right to computers and find all your information on computers, or still use the books?
You know, as much as I use the computer on a daily basis, and it's my first choice for going to get information immediately, there is nothing like a book. I mean, I come from a generation that didn't use a computer in the classroom, that used a book, and so maybe my view is tainted by that. But I find myself, even when I'm using computers, downloading pages and pages so then I can sit later and look at it and read it and absorb it. I think the computer is the way of the world today. It's not even the way of the future. It is here. I mean, and it is fabulous. You need, though, in order to use a computer, the critical thinking skills that tell you or help you determine in your own mind, where do I need to go? What is the answer I'm looking for? How do I find it? Those kinds of critical skills come from, again, your core subjects, and part of that is learning to read well. I don't think you learn to read on a computer. Once you've learned to read and read analytically and critically, then of course the computer's your best friend.
But don't you think that you could be able to read? Like, you can learn to read on the computer, because with all the technology, there's ways
that it will teach you how to read. It's so advanced today that pretty soon the computer is going to start talking to you and telling you how to read.
Well, when the computer starts talking to you, you won't even need to learn how to read. You'll just have to learn how to talk. But I think that even from a personal standpoint, I mean, I have a huge library at home. And even though I have a computer at home and it's a state-of-the-art computer, many times I want to go to my books to learn about history. I mean, one of the best ways to learn about the history of the world is to look at biographies. And there's nothing more pleasurable than sitting down with a book about someone's life and how he impacted the world. So I'm not going to agree with you that we're not going to have to learn, we're not going to have to use books. It's just a mountain you're not going to climb with me. You're not going to make that hurdle. Although I do agree that I remember having a discussion once with my fourth grade teacher at Whittlesey Avenue School. And that had to be in the 50s. And we were having a discussion, and the computer was just really coming into play then. And we were having a discussion about, would the computer ever have a place in the classroom? And his answer was, absolutely not. And my answer was, it most certainly will, and the day may come when we don't even need a classroom with a teacher. And he, of course, disagreed with that. And so it comes back to your point, our sort of discussion here, where you're saying, I think you can do things with only with the computer, you can learn to read, and mine saying, no, you can't. And so maybe someday, 25 or 30 years later, you'll be proven wrong. But a lot of it has to do with our place in time.
Now, speaking about the future, what are your thoughts regarding how much we focus on content knowledge versus focusing on the student's ability to learn, adapt, or grow?
I think that the content, you mean subject content?
Yeah.
Subject content knowledge is only effective if the student has the skills that he needs to learn. If you don't prepare a child properly so that he has the skills by which he can learn, then all the content knowledge in the world is wasted. When I was teaching, and I was teaching English literature and I was teaching history, I used the content. And this is amazing to me now that we're talking about this, because this was in the late 60s through the 70s, I left teaching in 1983, I would use the content knowledge to teach, the content information to teach learning skills. I would take, let's say, a chapter in a history book, and what I would attempt to do was to teach students the skills they needed to read effectively. Look at the questions in the back of the chapter first. Those are signposts for what's most important. Look at all the vocabulary first. Learn the meanings of the words. Those were skills I was trying to teach them so they could read critically and analytically as opposed to just being able to read the words. So I think that it's very important that you use the, because you can always find information. There's you can always find out, you know, the date of the Battle of Hastings or, you know, the date of the assassination of John Kennedy. You can always find that. The important thing is, do you know how to find it? Do you know where to go? And so I think that while you need to be firmly grounded in your core subjects, English, math, history, science, I think economics should be a core subject. You also know how to, you need to know how to access information. So I think that that's more important almost than the core content. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not dismissing the value of that. You need a foundation. You need a certain understanding of the core subjects. A rigorous understanding of it. You can't communicate well if you don't know how to use your language. Somebody's got to teach you how to use your language. You can't think critically if you're not taught. You must be taught how to extract information from various sources and think about it. That's not something just happens. And what I'm hoping for today's young people is they learn it a lot sooner than I learned it, for example. That finally, at some point in your life, you realize that you've got to take basic information and use it so that you can live a life that's productive.
Would you agree with people nowadays that say, when you're learning in college or high school, what you want to be when you grow up, there'll be more opportunities to what your occupation will be when you're older? Do you think that kids should just learn about what they want to learn about instead of
learning
picking
about
a subject?
Let me see if I understand the question. Should people have a broad-based education, or should they just zero in on what they want to do?
Exactly.
Okay. I think that you need a broad-based education to begin with. I think that it never hurts to know something about everything. And in this world, you are going to have to know that. You're going to have global awareness. You have to know about the history and culture of other countries. You have to know about economics and finances and business skills if you're going to be an entrepreneur. So you need to have a broad base. Just like I was telling you about an artist who does abstract work. First, he learns the traditional skills that an artist needs to know. And that allows him to go outside of the box. So it can never hurt you to know as much as you can about a lot of things and before you go into a particular field. What I think would be very helpful when students get to the high school level is to be able to work in internships in various fields that they might be interested in, because they learn, first of all, am I really interested in this? Do I really want to be a chef? Okay, do I really want to go into computer programming? But they learn that, but they also learn in these internships while they're still quite young the skills they're going to need in order to compete effectively in today's economy. And you learn that only once you get out there. You're going to learn then, what is a boss going to expect of me? How adaptable am I going to have to be? You learn skills about accountability and the ability. You learn skills that you need to know to relate to the people that you're working with. You get to look at the world in a broader perspective if you have internships. And you also get to know about yourself. You get to know, can I work in a corporate structure? Am I the kind of person that's able to take direction from the top on down or the bottom on up? Or am I somebody who really should go into library science where I only have to sort of answer to myself? Would I be good in research? Or do I need a lot of people around me? It helps to know that at a much younger age than we learned it when I was going to school.
And that relates to a question that's going on. Should there's like a lot of tension between people saying that you should be successful as an individual or being successful as a part of group or team, and that relates because, like, do you think they need to just learn by themselves what they want to do or work in a group? Like, what's more important?
You know, I think that's totally up to the individual. Some people work very well in groups. In fact, they don't function well on their own. They need the group dynamic to help them do the things they need to do. They need to be, they need to feel an accountability to the group. They need to feel part of the team. They need to feel that their place in the team is important. Other people function very, very well on their own. In fact, I had a niece who went to a college where there were no grades. You know, you could turn in your work when you wanted to. Your whole study program was what you wanted it to be. She wanted to be a writer, and she felt that would be the proper program for her. She got there, and she found out that she was getting nothing done because she needed the structure of which would help you determine that. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I didn't really say it right.
Success can be interpreted in many, many ways. And the world doesn't think they're successful. So I think first you have to define success. What do you think makes a successful person? Is it someone who's true to his values? Is it someone who chooses a field and gets personal satisfaction out of it? Or is it a person who says, I have to make my mark on the world stage, or I have to be wealthy? That means success. Before we can answer that question, we have to ask ourselves, how do I define success? And from there, it's a matter of looking at yourself years from now and saying, am I satisfied with what I've accomplished? Am I satisfied with what I've contributed to the world? That's what success is for me. Is that a better answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because if you're working in a group, I don't really think you're going to get anywhere. Like, you need to, like, do it by yourself if you want to go somewhere. Like, if you're going to work with someone, like, as a group, and try to have a job, it might not work.
No, it might not work. You know, no great problems were ever solved in committees. That's an old saying. Committees never accomplish anything. But I guess in today's interrelated world, it's very difficult to accomplish things all on your own. You need to be able to work with, to depend on, to listen to the needs and the values of other people, and you need to find your place in that world. Almost impossible, for example, for a business, any kind of a business, to exist without other businesses. But then you have people, those leaders, those people who take the initiative and do it on their own and get the brilliant idea. They, first of all, need the skills to put it in place, and they need other people to help them develop those ideas and to help them put their projects in place.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
That's what you're talking about. You're talking about being a leader.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, leaders need the skills we talked about even more than the person who's willing to say, this person's got a great idea and I want to be part of her team. Okay? They need skills. The leader needs skills.
And Mr. Jasinski, in my eyes, you were very successful. I mean, you were a teacher, and now you're here running for mayor. And, of course, everyone has to start off with education. So what educational experiences did you have?
Well, first of all, I went to local schools. And I came, of course, from a different world. A woman then didn't do the things that a woman can do now. I went to local schools. I went to Lyman Hall High School. I applied to several universities that were out of the area. My father, who came from another country, thought that was not a good idea, that I should be off on my own in New York or Boston or whatever. I wanted to be a psychiatrist. My father said, oh, by the time you hang your shingle out, you'll be 30. And by then, long before that, you'll be married. You see the old concept? And, of course, I didn't get married till I was 30, so I could have had the best of both worlds. I could have hung my shingle out and still been married. But I became a teacher, and it was the most satisfying one of all my careers, because you get to have potentially an impact on the future. There's no other profession like that profession, because there are all these young lives, all these young minds, and you get to have some small part in how they develop, how a certain problem is solved for them. You get a chance to make them see the world in a different way, and that is tremendously satisfying.
Yeah, it is. You're the one that they are relying on to teach them what they should do in the world.
To help them find their way.
Yeah.
In the world. Yes, that's a critical. There is no position, no profession that has a longer lasting impact, for good or for bad, than a teacher.
Well, never thought of teachers that way.
Well, think about it that way.
Anyone have anything else?
Tell us a little bit about any changes you foresee for the workplace in the next 5 to 15 years and beyond. What do you think this means for students currently in high school and K-12 education?
I think that the American student is going to have to understand that the world is getting ever smaller. There was a time when America led the world both in education and in innovation. And I think that that's changing. And I think that the American student has to realize, the American society has to realize that students, that education all over the world is catching up with us, and even in some cases surpassing us. And so I see that in the coming years, we are going to have to make more rigorous our education as far as content matter, and our, as I said before, we need to have a whole new curriculum that deals with life skills and skills that get us out into the global economy. I see the world becoming almost one community, where certain industries will be in certain parts of the world, other parts of the world will be dependent on for innovative ideas. No matter where you go, though, you'll need a strong and highly educated workforce if you are to compete today.
When we're done today, what
What's the one most important takeaway message you'd like our teachers and students to hear?
That this is the time in your life where you should be really concentrating on learning, on understanding where our society is in the world and how your education is going to help you live in that world and compete in that world and be successful in that world. So I think that we have to begin to look at even the structures of our buildings, even the way the schools are built, need to change so they can be more effective, more in the way they are able to teach you, and or the way teachers are able to work, and certainly more cost effective than they are today.
Thank you, Mrs. Chisinski.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really been delightful.